Okay, sisters? Sisters? Okay, we're ready for our seventh session of our Daughters of Sarah. This is the 2010 West Coast Daughters of Sarah, with the theme being the spiritual habits of a sister in Christ. We have with us our brother Roger Lewis. This is our session number 7, How to Learn the Secret of Sound Reasoning by Bible Principles.
Well, let's just summarize where we got to before the evening meal, shall we? Just to remind ourselves of where we finished, which was this. That despite the apparent native genius of the human brain to solve all of life's problems, the teaching of the Bible is that man is in a state of darkness and ignorance, and that God alone is the source of enlightening truth. And remember we said at the end of the study is that despite the difficulties that humanism presents to us, the good news is that we can do something about this. But of course we can only do something about it if we're aware, if we're in tune, if we're so aware of the problem that we're moved to, in fact, respond to it. So I suppose that was the objective of that session last study, is if you weren't completely aware that there is a problem, I hope you are now. And that as a result of that, we feel stirred that this is something that we ought to, that we've got to face as a reality in our own life. Remember what I said earlier on about preserving the generation of the seed of the woman, that each generation has to pass on the flame of the truth. But they have to do more than just pass on the flame of the truth. They've got to guard the truth in their own generation against whatever inroads the seed of the serpent might make upon the teaching of the truth. In that generation, at that time, with the philosophies of the day, you're facing postmodernism and its successors. So the battle that we do may be different to earlier generations of the truth, but the challenge is the same, is we're charged with the responsibility of guarding that heritage as best as we can in our generation. So here's the answer then. We're going to come to the answer by means of learning the secret of sound Bible reasoning. Now, some of you may have been through one of these exercises with me before, but I've got about 5 case studies tonight, and I don't think we're going to get through them all. In fact, we're probably lucky to get through 2, but let's see how we go. And the objective with these cases is we're going to apply our minds to finding Bible answers to life's problems. Because that's what we've said today, is that Bible study is all about. Do you remember that earlier on I said that one of the marvellous things about Christ is that whenever Christ was faced with a problem, he could always somehow think of the right passage that answered that actual issue of life. He had a practical answer from the scriptures as to what to do in any given circumstance. Well, we've got to train to do the same. We've got to train ourselves in all of our Bible study is that what we can bring to mind quickly and readily are the relevant Bible passages that might be brought to bear upon any issue of life, no matter what it is. So how this idea begins is this, and it's a marvellous thought really, and we're going to prove it tonight. You're going to prove it to yourself tonight. I really believe, that there is not one single problem in life that cannot be solved by Bible reasoning. Even though you might think that the problem is a million light years removed from what the Bible's all about, believe me, there'll be Bible principles that will be relevant to that particular problem. So let's start with a few points, first of all, about how we're going to do this tonight. The first is, in terms of Bible reasoning, is we're going to use Bible principles to assess and to solve the problem for this one crucial reason. Is the funny thing is, the moment we open our Bibles to even talk about a subject, we lift our thinking from humanity to the divine. We lift our thinking from I think and I feel to God says. That's a crucial first stage. The moment we open our Bibles, we're into what God says about this matter, not what I feel. That's a major change towards combating postmodernism. So we start with the Bible. And the funny thing is, at the moment we try and think about a Bible principle that might be relevant, you know, somehow our thinking really is exalted to the perspective of the truth and of Yahweh's purpose. It's so much better in terms of how to deal with a problem if we can start from this perspective. The second thing that comes with that is that one of the interesting things about life's problems is that there might be several Bible principles that could be brought to bear on arriving at a scripturally sound answer. When we're very young in the truth, we imagine that we hear a problem, we say, well, that's easy, the answer, that's that verse there. As we grow older, it's not so much that we stop being black and white, because I feel just as passionate about the rightness of divine principles as I did when I was 20. I've never changed, I've never deviated in that respect. I feel just as passionate about Bible reasoning as I did 30 years ago. But what does change is that you become aware as you grow older that there might be more than one aspect to the problem, one facet of the problem, more than one layer to the problem, and that therefore there might be a series of Bible principles that all can be brought to bear on that problem that when you were young you thought was so simple, and later on you realise it's more complex than that. But it doesn't change the fact that we're going to try and bring all those Bible principles nevertheless to bear on solving the problem as best as we can. In fact, one of the really good things to learn about life's problems is, have we really got to the problem? Or are we merely dealing with a symptom? Far too much time is spent trying to overcome symptoms where people never really got to what the problem actually was at the core. So we've got to be clear we've got the problem right, and then we'll do a better job arriving at a biblical answer. Here's the next thing, is that Bible principles are by their very nature non-specific, and therefore their application to a specific problem has to be thought out carefully. At a recent Bible school in the luscious fields of Canada, beautiful place, Canada, very similar to New Zealand, so of course we felt very home there because New Zealand's a beautiful place, place of lakes and rivers and mountains and forests. So Canada's sort of, you know, very similar. Not to say, of course, that there aren't parts of America that might be equally beautiful, of course, just that I haven't seen them yet. That's a challenge, you see. One of the things about this is, and I mentioned this at a Bible school, is we actually had what we call was a Facebook puzzle. We solved a problem about Facebook using Bible principles. And I started at that Bible school, for anyone that was here, there might be one or two, by saying, oh, and by the way, just to help you on your way, you're not going to find a single Bible passage about Facebooks. Or Twitter. But there will be Bible principles about whether you should be involved or what degree of involvement you should have or what you should be doing on Facebook. Believe me, there will definitely be Bible principles. So Bible principles are totally relevant to anything that you might think is completely modern. And the last thing is, and I'm a bit stern on this, but I believe it, and that's this. If we cannot find satisfactory Bible principles to support what we are doing in life, then we need a bit to think about whether we should be doing that or not. So many things we do in life, you say, oh, well, you know, it's not doing any harm. If we fashioned our whole spiritual life on the basis of what wouldn't do any harm, we'd live pretty mediocre lives, wouldn't we? What about being passionate enough to be convinced biblically that what we're doing is the very best for our spiritual growth and for our brothers and sisters and for the community that we belong to, that that's what we're doing and we know why biblically? Isn't that a much more spiritually robust approach to life's problems? Rather than that what we're doing might not do any harm. In fact, that's fairly pathetic really, isn't it? As a spiritual process. So what we're going to do in terms of these particular puzzles is we're going to use the power of mind mapping. Those that are familiar with mind mapping, most of you? Okay? All right. Well, if you're not, we're going to practice that a bit tonight. And so I'm going to do that on the board in a minute just so you're clear on what to do. But in terms of these particular problems tonight, what we're going to do is this. We're going to follow this simple sequence. So the first thing is we're going to follow a proper Bible process, which begins as follows. First of all, I want you to think about what the specific issues are and the problem. And how we're going to do that is this. We're going to have a simple mind map in each, going to split you up into groups. We're going to start by saying, I'm going to tell you what the problem is, and I'm going to put it in the middle of that circle. I'm going to say, this is the one word to go in the middle of that circle. And then out of that, I want you to radiate, as in a typical mind map, some points that come out of that as to what you think the key issues are. And when you're doing a mind map properly, by the way, you write the issue along the line. So you write the issue along the line, because what you're then going to do is break it into subsets further on as life gets more complicated, because with any one issue, there might be two or three different aspects to that issue. So we're going to start by saying, what are the specific issues that we think are involved in this problem in its totality? And then the next thing we're going to do is to say, what Bible principles are involved? Now notice I said Bible principles, not Bible passages. Bible principles. So what's the issue? Line one. Then the second stage might be an expansion of that, but we're then going to get to what specific Bible principles could be involved in this particular matter. And lastly, we're then going to say, and so now what Bible passages are relevant to this problem? And then the next ring out here, we're going to have quotations that we think are relevant that could be brought to bear about these particular principles. So the issue, a multiplication of the issue, the Bible principles involved, the Bible passages that might be relevant to that particular issue. And lastly, what we're going to try and do is to say, what do you think the overall Bible solution should be when we apply Bible reasoning to this problem? What do you think the overall solution would be, taking everything into account that we've put on our mind map together? So are you familiar with that process? So that's what we're going to do tonight. And we'll just see how many of these case studies we get through. Now, in order to facilitate this, we're going to have to just rejig you a little bit. But what I'm going to suggest that we do is this. If I take the back two tables, which is really like row two and row three, what I need row two to do is to spin around and face the group behind you. Can you do that? So table for table, you face the group behind you. The rows two and three, hopefully we've got tables that match each other all the way along, and so we should be able to do that. Now that leaves the tables at the front, and so what we're going to do is to take these two tables here and bring them into face this table here, and then we're going to take this table here, straddling the pillar, and we're going to spin you. You'll have to walk around or duck under the table or do something so that you can come and face the ladies on the far table at the end there. And so we're going to create groups. Now that's the first stage. The second thing is I want you all to create a scribe, appoint a scribe, whether democratically elected or not. It matters not. And you need a good piece of paper so that you can create a mind map for your group. And then what you're going to do is discuss at your table. You're going to follow this very process. You're going to start with this issue here. We're going to talk what the issues are, what the Bible principles are, and what the Bible passages are, and then what you think the overall solution should be. So, can I get you to move into your groups first, and then I'll show you what the problem is. I just wanted them to
it was only
there for 30 seconds. okay? Now, isn't it amazing? You know, if this had been a school of the prophets, all the young men would be quietly attentive, waiting for the problem. But with the daughters of Sarah, I don't need to tell you what the problem is. You're already able to fraternize at length on the matter before it's even been divulged. This is one of the gifts that sisters have that needs to be channeled wisely. All right, so are you ready for the problem? So here we go. So here's our first case study for the night then. Now, these case studies are written carefully. Please bear in mind, in the words of some other place, that all of these circumstances are entirely fictitious and that the names and characters bear no resemblance to any real person, whether living or dead. So now we've got that sorted out. Here we go then. So remember what we're going to do? We're going to say, what are the issues? What are the Bible principles? What specific Bible passages might be brought to bear? And I want you to actually do it in mind map form on a piece of paper, single scribe, but the whole group contributing to the idea of building up that mind map. And then what we're going to do at the end, we're going to collaborate together and bring all the mind maps back and synthesize them on the board together as a master mind map on the subject. So here's our first case study for the night. A memorial meeting has just concluded, and you're leaving the ecclesial hall. A car drives off from the hall car park with the heavy beat of pop music blaring out from the open windows. The music can be heard as the car goes down the street and on its way. Should you A, ignore the matter, B, deal with it privately, C, raise it publicly at an ecclesial business meeting? Is there any problem here at all? Or is it just personal preference at work? So discuss the biblical issues involved and how best you might handle the matter. Your time begins now. Yes. Sorry? Oh, yes, okay. Okay, now is everybody watching? So this, silence, s'il vous plaît, merci. This is what you need to put in the middle of your mind map circle. Pop music after meeting, all right? Now, yes. What if you think that's a symptom of the problem? Then you need to deal with that as you build your mind map. But you start from that issue as the circle. You might decide that it truly is a symptom, and your mind map might grow out that way. I'm very happy with that, if that's the case. In fact, I'm almost sure you're right. So, in terms of our time tonight, when's our next session? 8:30. Okay, so I think I can give you 15 minutes to do this. All right? So 15 minutes. Okay, your time is concluded. So can I have everyone sort of turning around, just stay in your seats where you are, but if you can swivel around and face the front. So what we're now going to do is to bring together the results of your exhaustive investigations, and we're going to put it on the mind map. Now, you know, one of the interesting things about this experience, if you've never done this before, is that suddenly you realise, actually, hands up those that have never done this before. So quite a significant number. Now, one of the experiences that you will have had on this is that as you start to do this, it's quite surprising, isn't it? First of all, how many issues you suddenly start to come up with. and then how many Bible principles and how many Bible passages might be involved. In fact, you surprised yourself at how deeply the Bible's involved in this matter, even though there isn't actually any Bible passages about pop music or none that I'm aware of. But there'll always be Bible principles about what we do in life, come what may. So let's start with some of the key issues. And if you've got the same key issue in your group, that's great. But can I start with this table here, and then we'll go to that one, to that one, to that one in sequence. And we'll just keep going till we've got at least some of the key issues out on the board. And what I'm going to try and do is adjudicate a little, only in the sense that if I think there's a subset issue, we might just add it to one of the existing ones. We'll see how we go. So, did you come up with an issue that your group had off your mind map? What was one of the issues you thought that arose out of this? Just one of them. Your best one. I want your best one.
Okay, then how about to get all the way to the verse?
No, just the issue. Nothing but the issue. Just the primary issue that comes out of this. What's one of the issues?
State of mind after meeting.
Okay, so it's to do with the state of mind after the meeting. Yes, that's a good issue. So what is their state of mind after the meeting? Good question. So that's an issue, isn't it? That somehow, you know, and I've had this as a personal experience. I won't say where it was, apart from the fact that it wasn't in America and it wasn't in Canada, so you can all rest easy. But after a certain memorial meeting, I was placed in a car with a young brother, as it turned out. Doesn't say whether it was a young brother or a young sister, or an old brother or an old sister here, just says somebody, just a car. But in this particular case, it was a young brother. And what happened, which I think was quite telling, actually, and I think this is a bit of a telltale sign in many ecclesial cars, is the moment you turn the ignition on, all was revealed as to where the mind sits. True? And even though some people say, oh, no, try and turn it off, it's already been revealed what they listened to. So what happened was the car started up and we got this and we then drove all the way for 15 minutes to the brother and sister's house where we were going to have lunch after the moral meeting. And I can assure you that by the time I got there, any spirituality that once had belonged to that memorial meeting was well and truly blasted out of me. And you think, so what was this all about? And the really sad thing is that the young brother appeared to be oblivious of what was going on. That's part of his world. Key word, isn't it? World. Maybe that world shouldn't be part of his life. And everything that was good in the meeting was undone in 15 minutes flat by that drive, accompanied by that music. So I know how this feels, this particular problem, but it was a fictitious one on this occasion. So state of mind after the meeting, that's clearly an issue that arises out of this particular problem. Give me another one. So that's a good issue, just the issue. Now, another issue from our table here.
A lack of respect for the
memorials. A lack of respect for the memorials. Would you say that's sort of like a subset of that? I think probably it is, actually. So we could add to that is to say that it shows a lack of respect. How am I going there? I'll fix that. Lack of respect for memorials. Yep. So yes, that's clearly a subset issue of that. I agree with that. Good. So another one from this group. What was one of the key issues that you thought arose out of this matter? All right, so example to others. Now, I'm going to be careful with that. I'll say example to others. And I'll go here, ecclesial. And we'll put here God manifestation. All right, so in other words, how does this action and this activity purport to represent the Father at work in the life of this person with regard to the example of others who've joined with them at the meeting on this occasion? Right? So I've deliberately limited that for a reason, which of course you'll all be aware of. So another issue from this table here. Okay, so there's an issue about the content of the music, and that could be two things, by the way. So I'll put that down here. So we'll put here music. And we're going to actually split that into two, lyrics and the music itself. And there are two issues there, which are both quite distinctly different. The lyrics of the words and the music itself. Because there can be juxtaposition of these. You can have good lyrics and absolutely atrocious music. You can have really nice music and absolutely appalling words. You can have appalling music and appalling words. And you could have good music and good words, but that's tomorrow night's mind map on the secret to good spiritual music. So there's a music issue. Yes, both the lyrics and or the music itself. So another issue from this table here. Any other issues?
Just the like, value or benefit of listening to music.
Just say that again.
The value or benefit of listening to music.
All right. So therefore, maybe if we make that as a subset out here, all right, why are they listening to this? I.e. value. Okay, good. So that's all valid. And that was respect. Okay, so that's good. Any other issues coming back to this front table here? Just primary issues to start with.
We have the issue of how is it affecting him or her?
Right, exactly. So how's it affecting the person themselves? Okay. Well, I think that's a separate issue. How is this affecting the person? Is this a positive experience in their life? Okay. So how's it affecting the person? Yes. So here we are, back to group one. Any other key issues?
Lack of understanding of music, or does that matter?
Okay, so now there's an issue there. So does it relate to, is there a lack of understanding music and what music's for as far as the life of the saint's concerned? That's true. Yes, so that's another good question. So that's a subset on the music line. Any other issues at the back here?
Worldly influences.
So you're taking the music as being associated with that. Is that correct? All right. We might just put that down separately for the moment, depending on what the music was, but it was pop music, so worldly influences, yep. How's this person handling worldly influences in their life? Yep, so that's another issue. Any other issues? This one here?
Separation.
How does separation work in this particular story? Okay, so it's to do with probably this matter of the memorials. So separation for God, or maybe separation to God, especially this day. Yep, okay, as opposed to serving other gods, yes. Any other issues from this table here?
The loudness of the music.
The loudness of the music. Yes, because it starts off in the hall car park, but not only is the music loud because it's blaring, but we're specifically told that the windows are opened and that the music can be heard down the street. So in the matter of example, there's also example to the world of what we believe in or don't believe in, because the loudness of the music has become its own witness to where this person stands to the world, who've all heard it as the car's gone down the street. Yes. So it's an example to the ecclesia, but also an example to the world. Any other issues? That's pretty good so far. Doing well. And I'd like to add one last one, just for good measure. Okay, so it could be a matter of, if I make this a subset, of offence to others. Now, of course, we've got to be careful with that, because biblical offence isn't that I feel offended, but more particularly that you might be causing me to stumble, and that could be a real issue here, that if he can do it, I can. And some other person who's got a weakness with pop music might feel they feel justified doing it because this person went down the street doing it, so it must be okay for me as well. Which, by the way, young people particularly want to do. Well, he did, so I can. Sort of sounds a little bit like postmodernism, really. In fact, let me share your truth on this matter. Right, okay. So now, just to sort of cut a long story short because of time, let's just combine Bible principles and Bible passages. So as we go around now, I want you to tell me what, just a Bible passage and principle that you thought was relevant to this particular problem. So let's start with, actually we're back to here, weren't we? So we start with this group. Give me your best Bible passage that you thought was relevant. One of the most interesting ones.
Michelle brought up 2 Samuel 12, verse 14.
Yes.
Talking after David sinned with Bathsheba, that, howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. So it's in the impact of music on the world.
Right, so therefore, let me put it, I'll just make this easy. Maybe it won't be easy if you can't read red, but 2 Samuel 12, verse what?
14.
All right, so the matter of bringing the truth into disrepute before others. Thou hast given occasion for the enemies of the truth to blaspheme. Exactly. Excellent quotation. The example to the world was not good on this occasion. Exactly. And the person was oblivious of that matter of example, or lack of example. Good. Now, another passage from this group. Okay, I like that one. So Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally,
brethren,
whatsoever things
are true,
honest, just, pure,
lovely, good
of good report, if there be any virtue and any praise, play these songs. Is that a fair translation from the Greek? Oh, I think so. Okay, right. So that's a good, excellent quotation about the lyrics of the music. All right, now a passage from this table here.
So we have, like, as far as separation being holy and blameless and unrebukable.
Yes.
So we have 2 Corinthians 6:17
and 1 Timothy 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 1 or 2 Timothy?
1 Timothy 6:14.
1 Timothy 6:14. So this is in the matter of showing separation, right? Okay, good, excellent. Now, a Bible passage from this table.
This one's concerning being an example and edification.
Yes.
Let us, Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another.
Ah, verse 19. So, the one things with which one may edify another, all right? So, are we helping to edify our brothers and sisters in this process of what we've done? Excellent quotation. Right, another one from this table.
Romans 1:29-32.
Which says?
Which has to do with just the content of the music again. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, the whole list.
Okay.
The judgment of God, that they which commit these things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them.
All right, so that was Romans 1. Verses
29 to 32,
that's right. So in fact, you know, one of the good tests about lyrics is if you just put the lyrics up on the board without the music, said, so let's read these together, shall we? You suddenly might think, actually, they're not all that good, are they, really? So it fails the test of Philippians, and unfortunately, probably fulfills the warning of Romans. Yes, excellent. So another quotation from this corner table. What's another Bible passage that you might have had down?
Romans 15:1-2.
Yes.
Can we read it?
Yep. So we're back to back to example to others, do you think? About not pleasing ourselves, but others to edification. Excellent. So that's Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. Okay? Of course, the person might argue that they're not strong. But they should be. Okay, so back to the front table. Another Bible passage. Excellent. 3 to 5. So again, it's to do with that spirit that instead of being self-centered and selfish, looks for what will be beneficial to others and exhibiting the mind of Christ. So yes, another good quotation about being a positive example to others instead of a negative one. Any other Bible passages that might be brought to bear by any table now on any of the other issues? What other Bible passages did you have sitting on your mind map? Any others at all?
I had 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Okay, 1 John 2, verse 16. All right, so about all that's in the world. And he's left the meeting and switched the world on, effectively. I said he. That was interesting, wasn't it? Yes.
The witnesses of God to the world.
Yes.
And we had a whole bunch of rooms, actually.
Okay, this is in the sense of a positive witness.
So this is either a positive witness or a negative witness.
Yep, okay, good.
But we have a whole list of verses. Some of you live in the block, actually.
Right, give me a little block.
Isaiah 43, verse 10. If my God sing, ye are witnesses.
Yep. Yep.
Acts 2, verse 32,
3,
verse 15, and
5, verse 32.
Acts 2,
32, 3:15. And 5:32.
Are all to do with the apostles being witnesses of these things.
Yep.
And then
positive.
Luke 24, verse 48, is Jesus telling us specifically the witnesses of these things. So we should act like these
things. Okay, we've got to be witnesses to the nations. Yes, okay. So there's a lack of witness going on here, especially down the street.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ephesians 5:18-20 reads, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father."
So Ephesians 5 verses?
Verses 18 to 20.
18 to 20. Exactly. And so, isn't there one in Colossians 3 as well? Did one of the other groups have that Colossians 1? What was the Colossians 1?
3:16.
Colossians 3:16, which actually says teaching and admonishing one another in spiritual songs. So to teach and to admonish, by the way, to teach is about doctrine, to admonish is about practice. Doctrine and practice is enshrined in the music that the saints ought to love. Most pop music fails the test of teaching and admonition. And so James 5 says, did anyone have that passage down? James 5 says, left-hand page, right-hand column, bottom of the page. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any of good cheer? Let him sing psalms. You happy and you'd like some music? Sing a psalm. Not a pop piece. Yes?
We had one that was a little bit more obscure. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law is my meditation all the day. Kind of looking at not just leaving memorial service and completely changing your lifestyle, but that the law would need to be a meditation the entire day.
Okay, so Psalm 119, verse
97.
About the fact, and this is one of the really worrying things, isn't it? Is What it's really saying, my meditation all the day, is you can't just leave a memorial meeting and go switch in your mind like that. You can't do that. It's sort of like going see the woman, see the serpent at the flick of a switch, isn't it, really? Red line, blue line, poof, just like that. You can't do that in the truth. That's not how saints act or behave. Something about the saints is so consistent in every part of their life that everything relates in some congruous whole. And whether they're driving into the hall or driving out of the meeting or they're in the meeting, they're the same person with the same values, the same principles that they live by. Yes?
To go along with that principle,
yep.
1 Corinthians 11, verses 21 and 22.
Yep.
When you're eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. Speaking of the Lord of service. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I feed you? In this I will not feed you.
Right. So what are you using that quotation for? Right, so to do with the memorial, exactly. So 1 Corinthians 11 verses.
Oh, yeah, 21 and 22, okay. I have another good one for that.
Yep.
Just quickly, if we say that we have fellowship with him, which is going to the memorial meeting in the morning, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie.
Quotation from?
John 1:7.
And may I say, well read. Just what I'd expect from a New Zealand sister. On loan to Los Angeles. Okay, I have another hand up. Yeah, good. So what verses again?
So Romans 8, verse 5 and 6.
Okay. Do you know, the thing about all this is, we could probably add a dozen more quotations with relative ease. Now, the point that I wanted to make about all this is, first of all, are there really any Bible passages about pop music? No. But are there Bible principles that might be relevant to this particular problem? Absolutely. Now, isn't it interesting that if we hadn't done that, if I had simply put this up and said, close your Bibles, just tell me how you think. I know that someone would have said, well, you know, it depends. It depends on what he was playing or what she was playing. Maybe it's not all that bad. I feel it could be all right. I feel. In fact, I really think that that's the case. And maybe not everyone would have said that, but you know, there would have been a little bit of humming and haring. We would have been a lot more fluffy, wouldn't we? A lot more humanistically caring. The strange thing is that the moment we open our Bibles, it gets a lot more decisive, a lot more crisp. You suddenly think there's a whole lot of Bible principles being breached here, being broken, being shattered, being smashed. This is not good. This is not wholesome. Is there a problem? Oh, yes, there's a problem. There's a whole raft of problems here. And there's lots of Bible passages that tell us with crystal clarity that there's a problem. Mind you, what is the problem? And as we said, maybe the problem isn't the pop music after the meeting. Maybe that's the symptom of the problem of a young brother or a young sister. I'm imagining probably younger. Who clearly aren't perhaps growing spiritually and haven't figured out what the truth's all about and where they're heading. They might be lost. They might be a lost coin inside the ecclesial house. Remember Christ's parables of the lost? The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost sons. Luke 15. This young person might be lost in the meeting, but going nowhere spiritually. What's really needed is they need to be put on a path of spiritual growth. So the reason why I mention that is, I agree with all of those. By the way, that's an you've done so well. That's Bible study. You've just done it. You didn't need a Greek or Hebrew lexicon. And out came this veritable cascade of Bible passages, all plucked out of the mind and out of your Bibles, and they're all relevant. That's Bible study. And you suddenly realize that we can deal with life's problems by opening our Bibles, but actually, isn't it really nice discussing it with other people in the truth and brainstorming those ideas? And suddenly, mind feeds upon iron, and iron sharpens iron, and out come all sorts of things that maybe on your own you wouldn't have thought of before, but you end up thinking, I feel quite decisive about that, that there really is a problem. You wouldn't just want to ignore that, would you? Are you caring for that person by ignoring them? Are you showing true love by ignoring them? No, this person needs spiritual help. Now, it's still got to be offered compassionately. We're not going to march up to them the next Sunday and say, by the way, brother, I want to tell you off about that pop music. That was a disgraceful exhibition of ungodly behavior last week, and you ought to be condemned. That's probably not quite how we will tackle this matter, at least not in the first instance, especially not if we think that this is simply the symptom of the problem. So given that that's the case, tell me now what you think the biblical solution should be. What would you do? How would you handle this? Sorry?
Matthew 18.
So we'll start with Matthew 18. So what we're really saying, first of all, is what Emmy is saying is we're going to deal with it privately. Absolutely right. You know, if you raise it in an ecclesial business meeting, you've just antagonized that person and put them on the spot and made them feel totally embarrassed. The chances of doing something positive with them after that are somewhat more remote. If you really want to save them and heal them and help them, first thing you'd do is you'd apply Matthew 18, absolutely right, which says, go and have a private chat, one-to-one. So now that you've decided to do that, the burning question is, tell me, what are you going to tell them? What are you going to say? How are you going to approach this? What thinkest thou? Any thoughts?
I have one.
Yes?
Ask if, let them know that you're worried, you're concerned about their spiritual welfare, and that noticed as they were leaving that the radio was on, and it was not, wasn't godly music. See, then I'll be.
So you have a CD of Christadelphian singers singing on the way to the meeting, and then what you do is, having put that in your car, you leave it there permanently, and you only ever play that, and you pretend you're going to the meeting every day. Exactly. Yes?
I was thinking not even mentioning the music at all, and just saying, hey, you know, how much you come over for once in that class, or maybe come over for dinner sometime, and I don't know, maybe just try to build up a spiritual relationship with him, maybe start a class.
Excellent. Something from the front here? Mm-hmm.
So the idea that you really need to get to know this person and why they're doing what they're doing.
Yep.
Before you can wisely address it.
Exactly.
How about just asking them how you do spiritually?
That's exactly the perfect answer. And the fact that she comes from New Zealand is irrelevant. She's a Californian girl now. Well, pretty much, you know. So look, here's the point, and you all said this really, is, you know, you'll want to get to this problem at some stage, but the question has got to be a little bit later on, doesn't it? So the best thing would be to say, how's things going, you know, in the truth? How are you going spiritually? You know, what are you doing at the moment? What are you looking at in the Bible? I'm looking at such and such. You know, how's things going in your life? And that may lead to a coffee or a Wednesday night meal or a discussion, which is what you want. You want to build that social contact. They've got to trust you first. They've got to feel that you love them and care for them in the best sense of their spiritual objectives in the truth. So you're going to have to do that first. but there'll be an objective to get to there finally, but only when they're ready to hear. Which might mean, therefore, the little quiet word has to go around some people in the meeting to say, yes, we know about the music, but we're dealing with it. So leave it be. It's being dealt with. The main thing that people need to know is it's being dealt with, not just ignored. But the real issue is this person's not spiritually growing. If we can help them to get into the word, this will all start to change. This is a symptom, not the problem. Don't spend the rest of your life dealing with symptoms. Well, I had five case studies to go through tonight, but somehow I get the feeling that we may not be able to do that. But we might, you know. Yeah. Okay. I think the main thing is it's an illustration, isn't it, of an approach. Yes.
Maybe you could give us one and we could do it in our rooms later or something. Just as an idea, if we wanted to.
Sure. Later. So you want another one? You can do it now. Really? Okay. Okay, what I'll do is what I might do is I'll put one up now, and you can have a look at it if you like, and we may consider it briefly tomorrow night in the context of that, because we're going to do something similar tomorrow night. We're going to have another session on this. I think it would be good to do another one at some stage during the weekend, because practice is what this is all about. But that was, you did excellently, and to me, this is so powerful because this is the antidote to humanistic thinking. Get your Bible open, think spiritually, reason biblically, and all of a sudden life becomes a lot clearer about what issues are all about. And the marvelous thing is that you're looking at it from God's perspective, from God's eyes, from God's principles, from God's viewpoint, aren't you? You can't help yourself. The Bible takes you there. Now, if we can do that in our families and then in our ecclesias, wow. We've just got the antidote to humanism, but we've got to practice it. We've got to really practice it. But how flourishing would ecclesias be if they sat down and actually discussed this? Imagine an ecclesial meeting, they say, we've got a problem in the ecclesia, let's mind map it using Bible reasoning. Whew! Everyone would go home on fire to actually, you know, collaborate together for that greater issue of the truth. All right, here's another one that I'll just put up before we close this particular session. 10 minutes? 5 minutes?
No, I
saw you went like that, you see. You went like that and then like that, and I thought, you know.
Well, this wasn't working.
Okay. Brother Fratello.
No, your mention of fire. When we're done with the question and answers, we're actually going to have a little fire up there. We're going to do a little fire at the fireplace. So if the girls want to sit around and work on whatever you're going to bring up now, we can do that.
While we're doing the questions?
No. Okay.
Are you going to put a real fire in a real fireplace? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no worries. Exactly. So that's good. So in that case, why don't we... what would you like to do tonight? Would you like to do some questions and answers, or would you like to have another one of these? All right. I knew you'd say that because I haven't... This is going to be like straight off the cuff on the questions and answers because I was busy this afternoon on tonight. So this will be interesting. I can assure you it'll be fresh. So let's do that for a while. And then when we close, I'll put the next one up just before I leave. And then you can have a bonfire inside the building. Okay.